and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. I hope everybody's having an absolutely fantastic day today. We're staying busy down here at Health Masters, getting everyone's orders out as quickly as possible. So we appreciate your support and your business. And other than that, how are you doing today, Deb?
Oh, Austin, I'm doing great. Today it's raining down here. It's going to be about 42 tonight. And still, this is the day the Lord hath made, whether it rains or not. Farmers have to have water for their crops, and when it rains, I'm happy for the farmers. I mean, getting upset because the weather's not what you want it to be, maybe somebody else needs this particular type of weather. So I'm always rejoicing in all things because, quite frankly, you know, God's in charge as far as I'm concerned. You know, there's a book out there that everybody needs to get. It's free online, and it's called Billions for the Bankers and Deaths for the People by Shelton Emery. He's dead now. May he rest in peace. But he wrote a really good little book that talks about the Federal Reserve System and what happens. I'm going to read you part of this, and he's talking about the massive debts that have been used to erect a complete and almost hidden economic colossus over our nation from the international banking cartels. Here's his quote. They keep telling us how they're trying to do us good, when in truth they work to bring harm and injury to our people. These would-be despots know it is easier to control and rob an ill, poorly educated, and confused people than it is a healthy and intelligent population. So they deliberately prevent real cures for diseases. They degrade our educational systems. They stir up social and racial unrest. And for the same reason, they favor drug use, alcohol, sexual promiscuity, abortion, pornography, and crime. Everything which debilitates the minds and the bodies of people is secretly encouraged. And it makes the people less able to oppose them or even understand what is being done to them. Family, morals, love of country, the Christian religion, all that is honorable is being swept away while they try to build their new subservient man. Our new rulers are trying to change our whole racial, social, religious, and political order, but they will not change the debt money economic system by which they rob and rule. Our people become tenants and debt slaves to the bankers and to their agents. In land our fathers conquered is the conquest of the most gigantic fraud and swindle in the history of mankind. And we remind you again, the key to their wealth and their power over us is their ability to create our money out of nothing and to lend it to us at interest. If they had not been allowed to do that, they never would have gained control over our nation. How true Solomon's words are, the rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender, Proverbs 22:7. Guys, this is an excellent little booklet that all of you guys need to read. And one other thing he talks about at the very beginning of the book that I've talked about before, but it was years ago. There's three types of conquest. Quote, history reveals nations that can be conquered by the use of one of three methods. The most commonly conquest is war. In time, though, this method usually fails because the captives and hate the captors so much they rise up against them and drive them out if they can. Much force is required and needed to maintain control, making it expensive for the conquering nation. The second method is by religion, where men are convinced they must give their captors part of their earnings as obedience to God. Such captivity is vulnerable to philosophical exposure or by the overthrow of armed forces, since religion by its nature lacks military force to regain control once its captives become disillusioned. This is like bringing the Muslims in and the Moors coming in and trying to come into Europe back in the 1500s and 1600s and 1400s. A third method can be called economic conquest. It takes place when nations are placed under tribute without the use of visible force or coercion, so that the victims do not even realize that they've been conquered. Tribute is collected from them in the form of legal debts and taxes, and they believe they are paying it for their own good, for the good of others, or to protect all from some enemy. This is where we are right now with our constant war on terror and the international banking cartels doing this to us. Their captors become the benefactors and protectors. Although this is the slowest to impose, it is often quite long-lasting, as the captives do not see any military force arrayed against them. Their religion is left more or less intact. They have freedom to speak and to travel, and they participate in elections by their rulers. Without realizing it, they are conquered, and the instruments of their own society are used to transfer their wealth to the captors and make the conquest complete. In 1900, the average American worker paid few taxes and had little debt. The reality is, you know, we had like no income tax in 1900. We did have to pay some state taxes and sales taxes, et cetera. But the reality is there wasn't really a lot of debt for people to be sucked into. This morning I had a young man from a company deliver a loaner vehicle for me, and he basically is trying to pay off his student debt and basically got a degree or started working on a degree which he couldn't market. And he realized after just a simple year that it was one of those things that he needed to get out of that mess before he got himself into a deep, deep ditch, deep, deep hole. Guys, it's so important that we all realize that, you know, what they've done to us has been done over a period of 100 years. It's the frog being cooked in the pot. This is what they've done. Yesterday, I talked about a book that Trump had put out, The Way to the Top, and there's a quote in there by Guy Ossieri, and it basically said, one day when my Kabbalist teacher, Eaton Yardini, asked how I was doing, I told him I needed a break. The quote that is in that book, and I was sent, and a good friend of mine sent this to me yesterday and gave me a clarification on it. Trump was using a bunch of different authors in that book, and that's not necessarily a quote directly from Trump. So that means I can't use that particular book to basically say that Trump's a Kabbalist. Quite frankly, he's bad enough, and he has friends around him, including his own family members, that are Kabbalists, but this book does not prove that he is a Kabbalist. The reality is he still may be a Kabbalist. I just don't know, and I can't use that book to talk about that. That's why that show from yesterday where I misquoted that book has been deleted, because I didn't want to try to fix all that as far as content. Because remember, the same guy who's being quoted as having this Kabbalah teacher is the same person who's the Kabbalah teacher for Madonna and a whole bunch of Hollywood stars. And this is so important that people understand this, guys, that these guys are all working together. Guy Ritchie, Ashton Kutcher, Demi Moore, Karen Berg, Madonna, all of these people are all in the same group of people with the same Kabbalists. And also Barbara Streisand, Elizabeth Taylor, Jeff Goldblum, Britney Spears, Marla Maples, Sarah Ferguson, Mick Jagger, Jerry Hall, Monica Lewinsky, Paris Hilton, all of these people are involved in studying this Jewish mysticism and the fallen angels and all the witchcraft it teaches with gematria. So, guys, it's so important that we as Christians stay where we need to stay, do what we need to do, and become what we need to become through Christ, and stay focused on what's happening. Read that little book, Billions for the Bankers and Deaths for the People, because this is kind of an idea of what they decided to do to us over 170, 80 years ago, and they've been working on it. Because, you know, the guys that are doing this, they don't have a 5-year plan or a 10-year plan, or they may have their short range goals. They probably have those. But they have these long-term goals with intermediate objectives, which is what they try to do to us. That's, again, why they use this teaching they learned from the Frankfurt School to reprogram our youth and to basically make our children subservient to them and to get the men out of our country, including with all the estrogen that they're putting into the food supply. Because remember, the geoengineering, the pharmaceuticals, the opium wars in the USA, which were the equivalent of opium wars in China from over 100 years ago, the vaccines, the censorship, the cholesterol drugs, the antidepressant drugs, the propaganda, the boys or girls in the Frankfurt School basically telling us that all of our children should be brainwashed before the age of 8. All of these things are taking place right now. Yesterday I watched a video, Austin, from a lady who is in Europe, and she basically says that these men in Europe have basically become so girlish that they can no longer protect their women or their girlfriends or their fiancés from being raped. And you say, well, guys shouldn't have to protect girls. Well, this lady's kind of old school, and she did a really, really, really good article about this and a really good, video on this. And basically what it says is this. It says, "Dear European men, you are pathetic candies." I'll use that word. And it says, in Europe, and this is an article, a video by Ibn Tranholm. She's a very pretty elderly lady who basically said she's had enough. She goes, in Europe, the few remaining men who are not actually gay act like they are. She goes, immigrants are behaving like the Kennedys on spring break, and women are getting worried. And this is an article that she put out. She goes, the gender-bending Europeans are finally getting their comeuppance. They're having their butts kicked and their women fondled by normal red-blooded Syrians and Libyans when they were stupid enough to bomb into total societal collapse. And that's what she's saying. And she goes, yes, that would be you, Cameron, Hollandaise, Strzokowski, and Merkel. She goes, their response has been to cover up the fact that the women being raped, or to hand out instructional cartoons to immigrants explaining to them they shouldn't grope the women, which most likely simply convinced the migrants they can grope all they want, because only a wuss would think of something so stupid. So it's funny to me. It says and then Stocker even comments on this. He goes, I don't know why Kronholm gets as much hate mail as I do. I expect that she probably does. But I will say that I totally agree with her about the modern European culture as being demasculinized. European men no less than it has defeminized European women. It is good to see somebody, especially two thoughtful women like Naiwi and Tranholm, having the courage to speak about truth, about not being terrorized by the "you are blaming the victim" mob. And she actually goes into detail, Austin, in this video. I encourage everybody to watch it. It's posted on the Health Master's website, that these men are not protecting their women, their fiancés. Let me give you a perfect example. I'm just going to be real blunt right now. About 4 years ago, Mom and I were over in Dresden, and we were walking. And you know, your mom, Austin, and everybody knows, they've seen the pictures of Sharon on the website. She's stunningly beautiful. I've been blessed to be married to such a godly woman who's beautiful on the inside, the outside, just beautiful woman for the last 35 years. And what was interesting, she was walking, and she had a pink jumpsuit on. Well, apparently in Europe, you can't wear pink jumpsuits. I don't know why. Maybe it's something that has to do with cultural differences, like you can't wear a halter top if you're a woman in South America because they have a tendency to think that you're this or that. And you really can't go into a cathedral with your shoulders bare or with shorts in Europe. So they have all these cultural norms they impose on their people that are around. They've been around for hundreds of years, actually. And so Sharon's walking around with a pink jumpsuit, and she had stepped away from me, and she had worn the pink jumpsuit so I could find her in a crowd. Well, she's the only woman wearing a pink jumpsuit. And also the group of Muslim men start catwalk, you know, like whistling at her and yelling at her, and basically, you know, they're like three or four of them. And I walked up behind her, and I yelled at them. I said, "Boys," I said, "you need to shut up. This is my wife." And she's like, they're like, "Oh, wow, okay." And they kind of turned around and walked away. Now, everybody looked at me when I did that, Austin, like, "What's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? Why are you doing this? Why are you yelling at these Muslims, these men who are basically insulting your wife? Doesn't she know she's not supposed to wear a pink jumpsuit?" Well, we quickly found out about the pink jumpsuit that day, and she never wore it again, or a pink warm-up sweatpants. But the reality is this. I stood up to these guys, and they left my wife alone. A couple of years ago, we were in Greece. We were in Athens. We were on the island of Mykonos, and I rang a little church bell. I told you that little story, and everybody came up to me, and some guy came up to me and started screaming and yelling at me that I'd rung the church bell on the outside. I didn't know it was like a fire alarm. I mean, it didn't say, "Don't ring the bell." I was a tourist. I should have known better. But the guy became abusive, and finally I explained to him in a way he understood it that he needed to shut up and leave me alone, and he did. He walked away. Another time I was there, and I touched the dog. They have stray dogs everywhere, and I touched the dog. I started petting the dog with my foot very lightly, putting like half an ounce of pressure. I've had a lot of big dogs, and the dog never even woke up. Some other guy came up and started screaming and yelling at me that I had awakened the dog from its slumber, and how dare I touch a dog. All this politically correct crap is what this is. And so I explained to him in a way that he understood that he needed to leave me alone and go away. Now, you see, guys, here's the thing. The Muslim men that are coming in from Syria, that are coming in from Lebanon, or coming in from Egypt, or coming in from Africa, or wherever they're coming in from, they don't understand that these guys are politically correct, because they're not politically correct in their countries. These guys are used to picking up guns and fighting, protecting their women, protecting their families. It's kind of like God made it that way. And this is what this woman has said on this video, is that men need to be men again, and that the women are scared to death in Germany to even go out at night because the men won't protect them. Because remember in Cologne a couple of years ago, on the New Year's Eve celebration, you know, over 1,000 women were groped and fondled. Many of them were actually thrown down on the ground, their pants ripped off, and they were raped while a group of Muslim men stood in a circle around them on the cobblestone street right there in front of everybody, and nobody did anything to stop it. Guys, this is what's happened to Europe. It's basically turned into this giant politically correct society in which no one can protect anybody, and the captors and the victors, or whoever you want to call these people, are moving in and basically taking control of everything. You're seeing this is what's happening in France right now with the Yellow Vest protest. The people in France have had enough. They've had enough of all of this stuff happening to their country, and they're trying to put a stop to it. Now you say, well, who's doing this? This is the international banking cartel. This is the group of people that are trying to take over the planet into a one-world government, into one-world religion. This is the folks that are being basically pushed to the forefront of Kabbalah now that are doing all this stuff. These are the politically correct people. All of these people like Madonna, super pro-gay, super pro-homo, super pro-all these weirdo things. Why? because the Kabbalah says all of this stuff's okay. It also says that full-term abortion's okay. All of this stuff is being promulgated now into us, the goyim, the pigs, the leprous rats that they think we are because they hate us so much and they think that we're just animals. They don't care what they do to us and what they do to subvert our cultures. The problem is they're subverting their own culture in the process. These left-wing radicals are subverting their own process and their own cultures by destroying the very fabric of society that God put in place. And that's why the United States is literally coming apart at the seams. It was doing this long before Donald Trump started putting globalists and CFR members into his cabinet and basically bringing Gottlieb into the Food and Drug Administration to force vaccines on everybody. What Trump is a Trojan horse. He didn't start off that way. I believe, like Austin said on yesterday's show, I believe he really was brought in by God because we prayed him in as the lesser of two evils with Hillary Clinton, who, by the way, has now said she is not running for president in 2020. Thank God for that mess. We have to look at her ugly face. I know that sounded kind of rough, but that's just how I feel. And I can't stand even listen to the lady talk. She's such a weirdo. She's a Sabbatean witch. I can't stand her. She's awful. And so the reality is that we've got a group of people now in the United States that are so politically correct, Austin, and in Europe, they can't defend themselves. I have people that I see in college classes and stuff around universities that are just absolutely so feminized that it's hard to believe that they consider themselves to be men, you know, wearing their skinny jeans and their little outfits and their little girls' jeans and all the stuff they wear. Guys, it's not what God decided. God didn't create us that way. And so we need to be alpha males. Teach your boys to work out. Get your boys, instead of putting them in soccer, put them in martial arts. I'm going to say that twice. Instead of putting a kid in soccer now, unless he's got like really, if he's got tremendous soccer abilities, then put him in soccer and in martial arts or whatever the sport may be. But don't get to a point where you can't say what's real. You know, I had this young man that came over this morning. I told him again, and I told you guys this before. I said, I'm not politically correct. If a guy who's 6 foot tall, who's covered in body hair, walks in a mini skirt and earrings and a long hair and a beard, I'm going to ignore him. Now, if he walks up to me and tells me that I've got to call him ma'am, he and I are going to have a discussion, and it won't be me calling him ma'am. It'd be saying a few other things I probably should not say as a Christian. But here's the thing. I'm not going to put up with this. And here's the problem we have, and this is what this lady's trying to say here on this video, is that the men in Europe are no longer men. And guys, I hate to tell you this, the men in America, especially under the age of 25, are no longer men in many cases. Not all of them, in many cases. And we've got to realize that this has to stop. And we have to start raising real little boys and real little men again. Austin, what do you think?
No, you're absolutely right. There's no question about it. I mean, there needs to be a significant push, and this is why I talk about it so much on the show, as far as the ideology that's being shoved down everybody's throats of this political correctness. You said it so succinctly. Individuals that are being transported are intentionally being brought in this country, especially like Canada right now. We're seeing that they're bringing in over 100,000 African migrants into Canada each year now to be resettled, primarily from Somalia and other areas over there. They're expected to have over 300,000 migrants brought into that country over the next 3 years. This is a problem because you're taking a culture in Canada that's being forced, literally forced, to be politically correct. You can't talk about certain topics. You can't say anything that's offensive. You can't be free as far as your speech online. You can't talk about things directly. Everything is essentially having to be self-censored now. But then you're bringing in individuals from another country that the only thing they know how to do to relate to one another is essentially fight. That's really what it comes down to. You have people over there. I mean, I talked to you guys about that video that surfaced a couple months ago that I thought was just interesting. It was an African village over there in Somalia. And one guy got in an argument with another one. They were recording it on a phone. And they pulled out machetes and started sword fighting with machetes. Then two other guys ran up out of nowhere and started sword fighting those two individuals. So you have these four guys in the middle of the road sword fighting with machetes till one of them ends up getting hacked up. And then one of them runs off and another one runs off. And that was it. And I was like, wow, that's an interesting culture. I mean, good or bad, regardless of what it is, that's the culture that they live in currently over there. So when you take that culture where they're generally used to getting in to aggressive machete fights in the street in the middle of a Tuesday afternoon, and now all of a sudden you say, hey, guess what? Jump on this plane. We're going to send you into Canada right now. We're going to send you into Minnesota. We're going to send you into Germany. We're going to help you guys out because I know you guys are having a lot of problems over here. And they go, well, okay. we're going to play. Well, let's go. Let's see where we're going to go. And all of a sudden they get off, and they're in Germany. And they go, wow, this place is fancy. There's a lot of stuff to do here. Look at all these people. Oh, we get free money? Oh, yeah, yeah, here's free money. Oh, we get free housing. Oh, we get free housing, too. Okay, here's free cell phones and free food. Okay, now, here's the thing, guys. You have to try to abide by a lot of the laws and standards we have here in Germany. And they go, laws? Standards? What are those? Oh, that guy looked at me. Where's my machete? I'm about to get in a fight with this guy. He didn't look at me the right way. That's literally how they act. And so expecting people like that to integrate peacefully into a first world country is completely and totally asinine. If you have individuals that apply for asylum, or apply to go into another country or get a temporary visa, and they have a legitimate reason, and they've been screened, and they've been vetted, and it's proven that they want to come somewhere into another country, and they want to migrate appropriately, and they want to be there, I'm okay with that. But they also need to have already things lined up to go into place, like jobs, like family, like housing. They don't need to come over here and get carte blanche immunity to do whatever they want, and we have to pay for it. That's a huge issue that we've seen now with the democratic communist ideology, with bringing in these people into the country to subvert the American culture and try to break down a lot of the morals and ethics we have. I mean, Minnesota up there, I mean, it's full-blown Muslim in some areas. There are some towns that are 100% Muslim population. Nobody else can live in them because the Muslims have completely taken over. And that's where we see with the one, Mar, whatever her name is, congresswoman, that wears a job in the congressional chambers. She's from that area. She represents them. Oh, imagine that. So this is something that everybody needs to be aware of. You have to keep raising a little Americans. You have to make sure your children know that they're not supposed to be bullies. They're not supposed to be arrogant. They're not supposed to be obnoxious, but they're supposed to stand for the rule of law, and they're supposed to protect their friends, their family, their girlfriends, whoever is around, for whatever reason, and not just sit back and be politically correct because they don't want to offend somebody. The teachers now in the universities are so complicit in exactly what's going on right now. And the universities are building, they are building and grooming this younger generation. There was an article on NBC Live yesterday here, and it was asking essentially to do a poll at universities on what they believed. And they did a poll basically at Berkeley, for example, and they found the faculty and members of the administration actually had, in some cases, had an open attitude about blocking free speech towards students. The students essentially came out and said they want college to be a political utopia that doesn't allow for dissent. They essentially want to go to college where you have all these protections and limitations, so it's this perfect little utopia. Nothing bad happens. Nobody says anything offensive. Nobody has to go to a safe space. Nobody needs their Play-Doh. Everybody just lives in unity in this college university, and any dissent, any aggressive talk, any rhetoric, any speech that is not deemed acceptable by the globalist agenda in these universities is essentially stopped immediately, sanctioned. The kids are either sanctioned heavily, suspended, or expelled. That's what they want to do in the universities now. In my opinion, if they keep going in the direction they're going, as we've seen Berkeley and a lot of these other hardcore communist California universities and in other states, if they allow this to go further, that is exactly what's going to happen. These universities are going to become free speech zones that don't exist, essentially. There are going to be no free speech zones. Nothing you want to talk about is going to be on the table in these universities. And that is something that, again, is going to slowly turn into the next generation. That's what I told you guys before. Right now, they're doing everything they can to subvert the culture. I'm not worried about me. I'm not worried about Dad. I'm worried about my children because of what I've seen done just in the last 10 to 15 years in the younger generation that I grew up in, and now, furthermore, the generation they're bringing up younger, even younger than that. Why are they teaching gay sex ed to middle school and elementary school kids? Answer me that, please. Why are they teaching them that? That's not something they even need to know about, period, even in high school. But if they did teach it in high school, that's bad enough. Even in college is one thing. They're teaching them that in the younger generations now, in the elementary and the middle school, because they want to indoctrinate them into this lifestyle. If you can take a kid and we've talked about this, I talked about it so succinctly the other day, by at 4 or 5 years of age, and you can bring them and indoctrinate them in this hardcore leftist moralist society that literally anything goes. There can be 67 genders. Anybody can be anything they want anytime. Anybody can have sex with anybody they want. It doesn't matter if you want to engage in activity with somebody that's 40 years old and you're 10 years old. That's okay. Everything's okay. You can't tell anybody that anything's wrong because you're essentially hate speeching them. That's what they're teaching them, and those children are going to be the next generation in the next 10 to 20 years that are going to start going into Congress and start going into politics, and they will essentially turn the United States into a communist country, and that is not something that we can allow. So again, you have to make sure you're engaged in your children's lifestyle. You have to try to bring them up and raise them up properly. I'll tell you this right now, guys. It is one of my biggest pet peeves of how many kids have phones these days. I mean, it drives me up the wall. Up the wall. And I get very vocal about it all the time. I stopped by a friend's house the other day, and he had an 8-year-old daughter who has a phone already. Surprise, surprise. And he had a 3-year-old daughter. Already had a phone. He goes, well, it's restricted. She can only play games on it. There's no internet access and stuff like that. And I said, secondly, I said, why does she need a phone? What, if it doesn't have internet access, it doesn't have phone capabilities, why does she need to be trained already at this age to have a phone in her hand that she plays with and stares at and gets exposed to blue light and all these other games on a regular basis? Why? Why? At 3 years age, why on God's green earth do you need to have a phone that you stare at on a regular basis? The answer is you don't. I didn't have a cell phone until I was like 16 years old, and it was a potato phone, it was a brick. It didn't do anything. I mean, they didn't have the internet on it. Texting was a nightmare. You didn't use that. Back then, texting was like 10, 20 cents a text message, if you guys remember those days. There was no free, unlimited text messaging. You text 10 or 15 times, you had another $2, $3 on your bill. That's what it was back then. But again, these are certain things that you can do. There's no reason for your children to be playing on an iPad and a tablet and a phone at that young of age. There's zero reason whatsoever, except, and I'm going to step on some toes with this, except the parents don't want to be parents anymore, they don't want to manage their children anymore, and they want to allow the video game, iPad, tablet technology to babysit their children nowadays. That is exactly what's going on. I have Hunter, who's about to be 3 years of age. He's a handful. He is wide open all the time, never stops. I mean, never, won't even stop to take a nap. I have to force him to take a nap. He sleeps for like 2 hours, back up again, 100% wide open throttle all day long until he passes back out at like 9 or 10 o'clock at night. It would be really easy when I'm watching him to hand him a phone or hand him an iPad and say, hey, buddy, here's YouTube, here's games. You can sit on that, play with that for 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 hours. Leave me be. Let your mom and I have fun. You know, get your sister involved in it too. She's one now. Get her involved. Let you guys watch it. Become little vidiots. Stare at your screen all day. Don't think about anything else except your YouTube videos and your video games. That's fine. Do that. It'd be super easy. Yeah, it'd be easy. That's not the way God intended our children to be raised. The globalists have intentionally made these iPhones and these tablets and all these different things incredibly addictive. They're dopamine triggers, especially the social media things they have now. The social media has been modeled directly after the slot machines. I talked to you guys about that over a year ago, with the likes, with the smiley faces, with the thumbs up, with the raining emojis, all the different things they do all the time, with the followers, with the friends. All that stuff is designed to constantly keep you intentionally going into it for a dopamine trigger, as is a slot machine casino. That's how they train it, and it's bad enough when you have an adult using that. But when you start using and letting a 3, 4, 5-year-old, even a 10 or 12 or 14-year-old engage in that type of online behavior, you literally are training them for the rest of their life that they have to be strapped to some type of technology. I know kids, I've seen them before, they're 8, 9, 10 years old, and they flip out if they lose their phone. I mean, flip out. Oh, no, my phone is, oh, my phone is, you have to find my phone. I've seen them before, I witnessed it. And my jaw drops. And I'm like, they're 8 years old and they're freaking out about where their phone is. You know what I freaked out about when I was 8 years old? Because I popped another doggone tire on my bicycle from jumping too high, and I had to have my parents run me to Walmart to get another tube so I could put another tube in my tire. That's what made me mad when I was 8 years old. I didn't even know what a phone was back then. Video game consoles, like playing, you know, Etch-a-Sketch. They were so horrible quality. Played it for an hour long when it was raining outside. When it stopped raining, went back outside. These are principles and ideas that have to be brought back in, or we are, and mark my words, we are going to lose this younger generation, because we don't even know how bad of quality of their ideology, of their cognitive reasoning, of their person skills, any of this stuff, how bad it's going to be when we see a child raised at 3 years old on a phone all the way until they're an adult. We don't even know how bad it's going to get now, because this is the first time we've seen a full generation literally go from birth until adulthood on a phone, on a screen, their entire waking life. It's going to be bad. It's not going to be positive, and it's not going to be beneficial for society, and it's something people have to start waking up about as parents and start raising their parents, start taking them places, start taking them outside, let them go to the park, let them run around, let them engage in physical behavior and interact socially with children one-on-one, and not be wrapped up in this stupid social media world, YouTube world, iPhone tablet world. And that's my take on that, Dad, because I've gotten really, really frustrated on seeing this everywhere I go now.
Well, Austin, you know, you've told everybody we didn't raise you that way. And I used to be so upset when I was young, because my father was born like in 1901. I mean, right now he'd be, what, 118 years old? And I'm not talking about my great-great-grandfather. I'm talking about my daddy. He was 54 when I was born, and I'm 63 now. So, yeah, I used to be 117, 118, depends on when the birthday fell. And the crazy part about this is that, you know, people say, that just seems odd to me. And it did. It seemed odd to me when I was young, because my mom was like 40 when I was born. She was born, like, I think in 1916 or 1917. And I used to always resent that. I would, you know, I'd be embarrassed because my parents were older. And then finally I started realizing that I had been given a gift, because my parents actually engaged. And I remember when I graduated from high school, my dad was in his 70s, and I was like 17 years old, and I guess he would have been, what, 70, 71, 72, something like that. And I remember I introduced him to all my friends. I took him around. I mean, he had a bad leg. He'd gotten crushed when he was a kid and had a real bad limp. I mean, he wasn't a young 70 years old. He was old. But it didn't matter to me, because I realized that the gift that I'd been given from my father and the life lessons that I had learned. Like, one thing he taught me, he said, Ted, he says, you know the problem with America today? I said, what's that, Dad? He goes, we've stopped raising little Americans. And I'm like, whoa. And I said, this is what happened with the Roman Empire. He said, they stopped raising little Romans, and that's why Rome fell. And then he warned me about the bankers. He warned me about an institutional money reset. He warned me about all that stuff, because seeing what happened in the Weimar Republic and when they reissued new money. He told me about all of this stuff, and I'm thinking to myself, you know, whatever, man. You know, you're young. You don't care. You just don't care. You're thinking, well, this guy's nuts. He's old. But now when you look back on it, you kind of wish, gosh, I wish I could talk to Dad. You know, Dad died back in 1984, the same year I got married to Sharon. So I always remember his death year. And Sharon talked to him on the telephone, but she never got a chance to actually meet him. And that still bothers me, but she'll meet him in heaven. But the reality is this. I mean, you're blessed if you have a parent that engages. You're very, very blessed. And think about this for a second. Universities now, like Austin says, they're changing America's landscape. I mean, think through this with me for a second. The international banking cartel has done a double whammy with the university systems. You say, what are you talking about? They've made student loans extremely accessible and easy to get, and impossible to pay back. So not only did they enslave you to debt, they say everybody now gets to go to a liberal university of their choice. Everybody gets to get student loans. And if the university is a little bit hesitant about bringing in gay people or gay faculty or gay staff, they may lose their ability to have government loans given to them. I have seen that before at local universities. They basically had to take a hard stance against homosexuality, and they get told basically, hey, by the way, you can't discriminate against anybody based upon race, sex, or sexual orientation, or you may not be eligible to have your students in your university receive student loans, which pay these giant professor salaries. And you go like, whoa. So little by little, these even Christian universities are being compromised by having professors that are extremely liberal, some of them gay, and some of them with tenure and gay, and some of them basically saying all kinds of crazy stuff like, you know, God, you know, basically loves homosexuals just like he loves anybody else, and it's okay to be gay, and God accepts you who you are, and not talking about repentance. They're telling kids like this in a Christian university. And you're like, what the heck, man, really? And yeah, they really are. I had a friend of mine who left one of the Christian universities here in town because they were doing that. He went to a secular school. He said, what's the difference? But think about it. The universities are transforming America into socialist safe zones in which students basically are going to get student loans, which will put them forever into debt. It's very, very important that we understand again, it's brought to us by the International Banking Cartel, which has made the student loans so easy to get and so impossible to pay off. There's an article here from the Town Hall. It's by David Clark. He's a sheriff. And it's called The Cult-Like Psychology of the Progressive Movement. It says, the nonstop push by American left to dismantle the existing American time-honored and time-tested institutions is how they will force socialism and central control of the American people. They'll continue to destroy the bedrock institutions of Western culture, such as religion, schools, family, capitalism, businesses, law and order, the Constitution, including the First and Second Amendment and the rule of law. When those pushing back surrender at the ballot box, the scales will tip and left will achieve their ultimate plan to destroy America. Now, we'll also throw in their institutions like the Boy Scouts of America, which have been run over now by the homosexuals. Has anyone know, and the churches, which have done the same thing, they've compromised. I listened to one of the Hillsong pastors today on an interview saying that abortion wasn't wrong. I said he had to talk to the person and discuss it with him in detail. I mean, it's ridiculous. Has anyone noticed the ideology of the progressive movement has significant similarities to the psychology of cults? Both are premised on brainwashing and lies. They both grow by hoodwinking people to distrust their sensibilities. Plain and simple, he goes, I looked at several studies on how cults form, whether centered on religion, politics, or terrorism, and how they recruit members, and the parallels are so similar it's difficult to discern the differences. One study pointed out that cults are built around extreme, unusual, or fringe beliefs. Think global warming, abortion, and the scientific assessment of gender, for instance. The recruitment involves a process of radical extreme groups seeking out people who are fed up with the way society is run, and they offer a solution to everything they dislike about society if they join their group. People seek out communities that validate their beliefs, no matter how kooky they might be. These cults offer attractive promises. They think free health care for everybody, free college for everybody, reparations for slavery, a guaranteed income whether or not you work for it, and affirmative action programs that go on into perpetuity. And then he goes, studies on cult psychology show that cults offer an opportunity for revenge. A pizza maker in Indiana is labeled a bigot, and his business is destroyed. Cake bakers in Colorado wanting to exercise their religious beliefs are sued in federal court. A hospital run by nuns wanting to exercise something outside of the progressive ideology is forced to dispense both birth control pills under a government-run healthcare system. And a U.S. versus them, and an us versus them mentality is essential to keep generating the requisite revenge. Studies show that a destructive cult is an authoritarian regime that uses deceptions and mind control techniques to make a person dependent and obedient. This is Frankfurt School teaching. I talked about this Monday a week ago. Listen to the show. They use what is described as thought-stopping techniques where people are actually taught to stop doubts from even entering their mind. A culture of compliance is mandatory. It's like I told you last week. First, you don't want to write things down because you may be caught with it as far as saying, I don't believe in this and I don't believe in that. Now, okay, can be attributed back to you. So you don't write it down anymore. So you don't write the books or the articles anymore. Secondly, you say, I can't talk about it anymore. I can't say it anymore because I don't want to be disruptive and I don't want to have the blowback from these groups coming to this rally that I'm having or coming to this meeting that I'm having and basically saying they're going to blow the place up with bomb threats. So I'm just going to avoid talking about this. And third, you tell yourself, I'm not even going to think that way. It's not okay. I can't think that way. It's like my friends that I met at Disney World that came to the house that night we met them. We invited them over because they were really a nice family, a man and a wife and the two girls. And they were basically Germans, and we started talking German to them. I did. And we brought them to the house. And then finally I started asking them questions about history and what it was taught in German schools. And they said, we can't talk about this. They started shaking. The guy got scared. Big executive of Porsche got scared. And I said, well, why are you acting like this? He said, these words are verboten. We can't talk about the Nazis or the Third Reich or Hitler or the book Mein Kampf that Hitler wrote. We can't talk about any of this stuff. The Mein Kampf is forbidden. You can't even sell it in Germany. You go to jail. He says, it's a forbidden book. It's blacklisted. The government's banned it. If you deny the Holocaust, you go to jail. He goes, you can't talk like this in Germany. So you can't think like this either. So, guys, what we have here is still in the United States – In this freedom that we have to be able to do this show and talk to you guys the way we are in this incredibly politically incorrect show today, which is fine with me because I like politically incorrect. I thrive on it. Is unique in this planet, on this planet, and they're trying to take that away from us. I mean, now Amazon's coming in and they're censoring books that are and information on vaccines. I mean, they're censoring it now. Right now, they're actually coming in and they're censoring vaccine alt information. Why? Because they've got to keep you vaccinating your children. Why? Because they've got to continue dumbing down the children. You think, well, they really wouldn't do that. They're not going to do all that. Yeah, they actually are. Bezos basically is going full-blown fascist as Amazon bans anti-vaccine movies from Prime. No joke. I used to see vax movies available on Prime for free. Gone. Don't see those anymore. Remote book burning of Kindle books coming next. I mean, this is what's going on. Why? Because Bezos is a cutout. He's a cutout for the Rothschild banking cartel. Bezos didn't build Amazon. I mean, Amazon's basically a fascist organization. It's government-run, government-subsidized. You know, and when the government was taken over by the federal, through the Exchange Stability Fund and the Federal Reserve Bank of New York, Federal Reserve of New York Bank, was taken over and became the Fed, became the Treasury back in 1933, everything changed. There's a group of videos you can watch. It's called the Exchange Stability Fund. It's a 5 series of videos that'll probably taken off Amazon. It'll probably taken down pretty quick. And it talks about how the international banking cartels took this over. It all revolves back to the international bankers. It always has and it always will. These are 17 Kabbalists, Luciferian Frankists, and they want us to do the entire planet. This is their goal for the destruction of our world and putting it under a one-world Luciferian dictatorship through the rebuilding of the Third Temple and the anointing of their Antichrist as God. I mean, this is as their God, as little g for us, it would be Lucifer. And this is what the goal of all these guys are. But first, they've got to destroy the culture. And guys, I hate to say it, they've done a darn good job in the United States. It's darn good. In Europe, it's awful. It's awful. You got all these men over there. You walk around. You think we got a bunch of gay guys in the United States? You can still go to the rural states, the rural parts of our countries, and you'll see guys with guns. In fact, if you go to the landing page now for our radio talk show that we're doing right now, you'll see a picture of Austin holding a gator. A dead gator that he shot. Okay, you think they're all right? I think so. I'm joking, and I'm not. It's a landing page. I'll post it today and we'll send it out. We'll post it on the website. It'll be a landing page, and it's got pictures of Austin and me and working out, not working out, but we got pictures of us that you can tell we work out, and pictures of Hunter. I mean, families, our wives. So it's like a little collage that we put together at the bottom of the landing page, so people know that hey, look, I've got a coat and tie, so you can see that like I went to college, right? And then there's a picture of Austin, with a dead gator, and you're like, okay, these two are really on both ends. No, we're not. We're on the same end. I believe the same way Austin believes. He believes the same way I believe. I want to go shoot gators with him next year. And remember, we get permits because these things are overrunning the state. They've got to be culled. They're dangerous to be in the water with. You get a 13, 14, 15 foot, 18 foot gator in the water, that's a dangerous animal. They can weigh up over 1,000 pounds, close to 2,000 if they get big enough. You know, we've got anacondas now in Florida. We've got pythons in Florida. I mean, all of this stuff has to be culled and taken back out. These things have gotten aggressive and they need to be taken out. I love it, Austin, when our state comes in and says, oh, the gator population poses no threat to the human population. I just start laughing hysterically. It's like saying a water moccasin won't bite you. It's ridiculous. I mean, all of these things are reptiles. They don't think through the fact that you're a human being. They just see you as a food source or something they want to get rid of. Guys, think through this. Remember, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, but we can't allow the world to compromise us. We have to take action because our faith requires action to get change. Austin, what do you think?
That's excellent information. There's no question about it all. We have to produce action to get results. There's something that a lot of people don't understand about that, but we can't just continually sit on the couch, hand our children an iPhone, watch TV, and eat Cheetos or Doritos with MSG, and sit there and complain about things under our breath and expect anything to change. Also, too, in other news, this Bitcoin now is starting to rear its ugly head again. It's still substantially below, I think, 4,000 a coin. It floats around 3,000, 3,600, whatever it is. You guys remember its high last year, I think, was around 20,000 a coin as they suck the life out of the American population and redistributed more wealth, which is what that whole thing was about. Now, we have an obscure finance firm known as Morgan Creek Digital who has now recently decided they're launching a crypto-based venture that includes two pension funds as their anchor investments, which is apparently the first time it has ever been done. It ties right into what Dad was talking about with these groups that are doing everything they can to take the wealth from the population. Now we're going after pension funds. The $40 million endeavor is said to be backed backed not only by dual pension funds, but are managed by the Fairfax County Retirement System in Virginia and an insurance company and a university endowment. Many other underfunded public pension funds across the United States struggle to maintain their payouts in the faces of recipients, basically the pension plans not being sustainable. I talked about this on the Hagman Show a couple weeks ago with where we're at now with $1 trillion, $1.2, $1.3, $1.4 trillion pension plans that are going to continue to rise over the next 10 years for the United States government. We have cities across the country, their pension plans are completely and totally defunct. And in addition to proposing an increase in the retirement age, some of these pension funds now, because they're basically insolvent, are now flirting with the idea of putting people's retirement money in cryptocurrencies as an attractive asymmetric return profile. Anthony Pompolino, founder of Morgan Creek, told reporters in the interview, he said, the smart money, the really smart money, is not distracted by price, but looks at long-term trends, and we believe that they're betting on innovation as a great way to deliver risk-mitigated returns. Now, as everybody has pretty much realized now, these so-called cryptocurrency assets aren't really assets at all. They're simply imaginary tokens that get brought up value because of people putting more money in them. That's how Bitcoin continued to grow. People didn't understand that concept. The only reason Bitcoin was increasing in price, increasing in value, so to speak, was because people were literally funneling tens of millions of dollars a month in Bitcoin and was creating a growth curve that was unlike any organic natural growth curve for anything. They did that, ran the price up. Then, once the individuals that started Bitcoin and got involved in Bitcoin and CIA assets that were involved in Bitcoin, where they talked about after it came out, like 1% of the people owned like 95% of Bitcoin. They held like all the Bitcoin. And then they turned around and they cashed out on it. It dropped like $10,000 overnight and then continued to drop precipitously as other people realized it was a scam. But what people don't understand now is Bitcoin and all these are extremely volatile. I think they get that ideology now, but instead of saying, hey, it's a volatile idea, it's not something sustainable, there is no tangible asset, they now are saying that they have the potential to garner massive gains if played correctly. None of this bodes well for people's retirement funds, which are now being leveraged by the equivalent of imaginary money. The whole thing that we're seeing with this now is it is the beginning of the end of the financial system that we currently have in the United States. The United States as the world currency is coming to an end. We've seen that. You can look at the charts. You can look at the graphs of every other country throughout the entire world history for centuries and millennials. There's only been a few times that anything's gone past essentially 100 years of being the world currency. And the United States is essentially past that now. And once we're getting to this realm, there's going to have to be a reset. And the only way to get the United States population to submit, to ask, to beg for a financial reset is to wipe out the wealth of the population. For example, you think about this. You have a lot of people that have their pensions, their retirements. They're expecting to make 60, 70, 80 in the U.S. government. The average pension's around $120,000 with benefits. They're expecting to get all this stuff when they retire. Well, if you come in now and there's this massive reset and everybody starts betting on all this, everybody starts wasting the money, long story short, the pensions, the retirements, they go kaput. They disappear. The U.S. dollar flattens out and collapses. The pension and retirements dissipate. Nothing's left. And all of a sudden you have people that have worked 30, 40, 50 years of their life so they could retire on this money. To now it doesn't exist. Their retirement accounts are empty. There's nothing there. They're going to beg the government. In fact, they're going to beg a new world government to do anything in their power to make sure that they have some type of pension or retirement in place for them because they worked for it and they earned it. And they will come in now, the new world government will come in and say, okay, listen, we know you did this. We'll go out of our way and we'll do you a favor and we'll make sure you have some of your retirement, and it'll be pennies on the dollar, but it'll be enough to keep the population suspended in just absolute despair to the point that they demand and they request a one world currency to come into place and to take over the entire world monetary policies. And that, in my opinion, is the next place that it is going to go, in my opinion, Dan.
Well, yeah, that's what Bitcoin is, Austin. And that's all the stuff is. These are all beta tests putting together the digital one world currency mark of the beast system.
Yep.
It's all part of what it is. I mean, they're not even trying to hide it. This is what it is. It's right out of the book of Revelation. I mean, it's funny to me, too, because, I mean, Amazon, you know, lets everybody talk about all this stuff as much as they want as far as how great these books are with these financial planners and all this stuff. And also they put out – and they ban anti-vaccine films, and they sell books that basically openly promote the worship of Satanism, chapters in the books on teenage Satanists and animal sacrifice. I mean, this is what Amazon promotes, because remember, they're a Rothschild organization. This is what they do. They're Seventh-day Kabbalists. And so it's important that we understand that these financial planners, in most cases – are not very good. I'm gonna step on some toes right now, and I'm gonna be very careful how I say this, because this is one of those things I want you to understand exactly what I'm saying. 10% of financial planners are really God-fearing, good people who care about the person and the investments that they're making. 90% of them only care about how much money and profit they make in their commissions, period. Be very, very careful when you get a financial planner. You make sure you know their track record. You get some people, you get some testimonials, because some of these guys are really, really bad news and very, very, very greedy people, because they can't make money on their own. They have to take your money and have to invest it for you so they can either lose it or keep it or whatever, but they get commissions whether you buy or you sell. They get paid commissions both directions. In most cases, remember that. Here's something that happens to you when your body stops drinking alcohol. Number one, we know that alcohol increases the risks of pancreatic cancer, liver cancer, cirrhosis of the liver, alcoholism, osteoporosis, and breast cancer. Alcohol is really rough, and it really increases the risks of fatty liver. But when you stop drinking, by the way, women don't metabolize alcohol nearly as well as men, and they end up with a much bigger problem with liver damage. But the alcohol, when you stop drinking it, your liver will dramatically improve. Alcohol in consumption is notoriously bad for health of your liver, the organ which acts as the filter for the body, detoxifying the bloodstream. Alcohol is high in glucose, and the liver converts glucose into fat, which with heavy drinkers, when they suffer from fatty liver disease, which can cause scarring and liver failure. Number two, you stop drinking, it improves the balance of good bacteria in your gut. Alcohol kills bacteria. You pour alcohol on anything, you pretty much kill all the bacteria, and you really mess up your gut flora when you drink alcohol. Overall digestive health will improve. The digestive system works hard to eliminate alcohol, a toxin, from your system. So when we cut out alcohol, we are allowing the digestive system to better convert the food and beverages we consume into fuel and energy to function optimally. Remember, all the body wants to do is get rid of alcohol because it's a neurotoxin. You may sleep better with alcohol when you stop drinking, because a lot of people really think that you sleep good when you get drunk. You really don't. Many people have a misconception that a drink or nightcap will help them sleep better, when actually the opposite is true. Alcohol can have an almost immediately relaxing effect on the body and mind, that once it begins to be broken down into the digestive system, instead of the liver, it creates, you know, a body that does not sleep well after consuming even a small amount of alcohol. It messes up your REM sleep. Your skin will clear up. Alcohol is known as a toxin that kills living cells. That's why it's also used as a disinfectant and as a preservative, and it's really difficult on the skin, and it can actually aggravate skin conditions. Your brain will perform better because you're not killing brain cells by the millions or hundreds of millions if you stay drunk all the time. I know my brother's an alcoholic. He's 14 years older than me, so he's 77 years old now. He doesn't remember anything. He hasn't remembered anything in 20 years. He basically sits around and just in a stupor all the time, drunk. And you think, well, gosh, that's awful, Ted. Well, he's already lost all of his teeth because he's lost all that calcium. I mean, he looks awful. He doesn't look 14 years older than me. He looks 50 years older than me, but he doesn't care because he's an alcoholic. Number seven, it can help you lose weight. Alcohol inhibits the enzymes in the body. I forgot what the name of it was. It'll come to me in a second. And it actually stops you from breaking down alcohol, and you start storing it inhibits the body's ability to break down and burn fat. Rather, it stores fat, and when it does that, it makes you gain belly fat and weight and liver fat. So guys, it's one of those things, if you stop drinking, you'll actually end up in a situation where you no longer have to increase your risks of pancreatic cancer, liver cancer, cirrhosis of the liver, alcoholism, osteoporosis, breast cancer. And those lies that were done on the French Paradox study, which they said that when they drink red wine, they live longer. Guys, The French people don't eat hydrogenated oils. They don't eat trans fats. They don't eat GMMs. They don't eat all the junk they feed us here in the United States. And they may have a glass of wine with their meals or whatever. But the reality is, it says in that same study that if you don't drink, don't start, because it's not going to help you from a health standpoint, because the side effects of the alcohol are so bad, you can actually increase disease rates in these other categories. So don't believe that you start drinking alcohol and be okay, because about 10% of the population is genetically predisposed, if they start drinking, to become alcoholics. I've got a good friend of mine, has a wine cellar. You know, he was diametrically opposed to alcohol for the first part of his life. Then he started drinking wine, and now he has a wine cellar. His mom's an alcoholic. His brother's an alcoholic. He drinks every single day, but he doesn't see it. You try to discuss it with him, he gets angry and defensive about it. Guys, when you're genetically predisposed to alcoholism and you have this stuff in your family, you really need to be careful with it, guys, because just drinking a little bit every day will get you, because alcohol is extremely addictive, and for some people, it's deadly addictive. Guys, I love you. Thanks for supporting Health Masters. Thanks for getting your vitamins from us. Thanks for listening. I had the privilege of praying for you again this morning. I really just continue to pray God's protection and blessings on all of you who listen to the show. Thank you again for supporting us and getting your multiple vitamins from us. I know I just said that. I'm saying it twice so you understand how sincere I am about that. You guys are absolutely awesome. Austin, I'll do the write-up, and I will talk to you guys tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Absolutely. Thank you guys so much for the continued support. Just absolutely, man. This has been, it's been intense last couple weeks. Just so much stuff going on. All the fighting that we've been doing with iTunes now, it seems to be that we're having people that are perpetually flagging us or reporting us for hate speech on iTunes. iTunes keeps blocking some of our shows. And what's ironic is, if you guys know our shows, there is no hate speech about anything. I mean, I try to respect everyone, but on the other hand, too, I'm also a realist and I speak the truth. The problem is now, as we have seen, the hardcore left only see the truth as hate speech because it does not go along with their narrative. So anything that they deem to be not what goes along with their narrative is now hate speech. That's the problem that we've seen with all these different laws and rules and social media restrictions that they deem anything hate speech. There is no definition, a clear-cut true definition of hate speech, because it's all perceived on what one person perceives as hateful compared to another. So one person can say, oh, you said that I need to lose 20 pounds and I need to get my health back into shape. Yeah, I did. I'm trying to help you out. You asked me what's going on. I told you you need to lose some weight and you'll get back in shape. Well, that's hate speech. It's not hate speech. I'm giving you a factual statement. I'm looking at your BMI. This is some facts you need to follow. Well, that's hate speech. You can't say that to me. That's literally what we're dealing with now in this society, to where hate speech is essentially anything that somebody doesn't like. So thank you for your support right now of our show. Thank you for buying your supplements from Health Masters. We try to do the best we can to produce the highest quality supplements in the world and bring you whatever you guys ask for. Over the past year and a half, I try to get all the feedback from our customers. That's why I worked on the CBD oil rigorously last year, trying to get a contractor for the organic CBD. We have it on the website now. We got the beet juice powder back in stock. This is constant movement all the time that we're doing to not only make sure we're bringing you guys the quality products, but we have to go on the back end and make sure that these products work. We'll take them. They're tested. They're something that we approve of before we even go down that route. So thank you so much for the support. If you guys need anything, healthmasters.com, the Doug5 coupon is still active until Friday of this week. We activated it last Friday, so 5% off all regular price products and 5% off the ultimate multiple. Ted told me to do that earlier on here, so you can get 5% off with the Doug5 coupon already on top of the product of the week ultimate multiple capsules. So just thought I would add that in there, as we don't do that very often. So thank you guys. We love you. We appreciate you. You have a blessed, safe, awesome night, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow as always.